Radio 786, where you hear the difference. It's Lifestyle Matters. We are in conversation with Dr. Fatima Hussein, who is speaking to us about thyroid cancer. And that number is 0786-10-11-12 for all your questions and comments. A listener asking what is myxedema and wanting to know at which point is the thyroidectomy indicated.
So myxedema is what I told you about, that swelling of the legs, so where you have that buildup of the fluid. The legs, the limbs become very, very swollen, and the skin becomes thickened and changed. It's usually we see that symptom as at a late stage of long-standing hypothyroidism or under-functioning thyroid. This myxedema is not generally treated with thyroidectomy. I can't see a specific indication where we would treat myxedema with a thyroidectomy. We would in general treat myxedema by treating its underlying cause, which is hypothyroidism. So we'd give the patient thyroid hormone or Altroxin to or Euthyrox, maybe people are more acquainted with that medication, to increase their thyroid hormone levels, and that will generally treat the underlying issue and help treat the myxedema.
Inshallah.
Ameen.
Ameen. Because I'm trying to get a visual image of what these legs would look like. I've seen, especially with women who have like really swollen legs, and I'm never too sure, is it swollen because they've been walking too long, but it stays.
That makes it
swollen.
It looks like that.
Yeah.
I see the picture in your head. That's what it looks like.
That's the picture that came to my mind. But are they... seen, how much work in South Africa are we doing in relation to thyroid cancer, and just understanding the thyroid gland and how important it is in our body? And then with that work, how are we doing with maybe debunking the misconceptions that come with understanding thyroid cancer?
So given the amount of people who don't know where their thyroid is, or what a thyroid is, or what a thyroid does, I'm going to say not much. Or maybe we're not addressing the correct channels. Or maybe people find thyroid a bit complicated. So I don't think overall enough work is being done about thyroid. And then I want to think... I like thyroids a lot, so I think it's a very understated gland, given the importance of what it does and how it maintains metabolism and the body and its important role that it has in function. We tend to believe that it has a lot to do with just weight gain and weight loss, and but it's not just that. It does play important roles in those things, but what we don't realize is that if you don't have enough thyroid hormone during pregnancy, your kid can actually, the child that you are pregnant with can actually be born with a neurological deficit. So you know that word cretin? Have you ever heard about cretins? Mm-hmm. Like, you're such a cretin. Okay, no, never mind. It
almost sounds like a gremlin.
Yeah, something similar.
Yeah.
But it actually is a term that is used to describe babies that are born as who have severe neurological deficit as a result of being exposed to insufficient amounts of thyroid during pregnancy. So it's a very, very important hormone throughout one's life. It does play a very important role in your bone, your cardiac function, your neurological function, your metabolism, bowel function, muscle function, all of those. It's the keep everything just right hormone.
Are we able to do a general hormone test? just to see if, you know, because there are also conversations around hormone imbalances and so on. So I'm trying to put that all together, especially with the thyroid gland being this, the one that keeps everything together. So then how do we bring that all together? How do you know if you have enough hormones, for example?
Because if you don't have enough of them, then you have symptoms. Then you develop issues that are related to the deficiency of that specific hormone. For example, growth hormone, if you have too much of it, you develop a disease called acromegaly, where you start developing these big hands and big, a very big nose, a very prominent forehead. These things come with very specific symptom complexes and a group of features that make us suspicious for an underlying disease. It's very easy to test for specifically for thyroid hormone, your thyroid hormone levels. It's a blood test. The thing is, it's also not the right thing just to go and test everybody, because specifically in thyroid, you will pick up a lot of patients who have slightly low, what we call subclinical hyperthyroidism, or subclinical hypothyroidism. So they may have a biochemical or on the blood test slightly abnormal levels, but physiologically, so looking at their bodies, they are completely asymptomatic. And then the question arises of whether you should be treating those patients with the medications if they don't have any symptoms. And the answer is no. You treat patients. We don't necessarily treat numbers. And therefore, your test should be directed by the symptoms that the patient is presenting with. Mm. So again, I'm going to take a step back and say, if you have symptoms, a group of symptoms, not necessarily just one or two, go to your doctor, chat to them about it. And you can always chat to your doctor about the value of doing a specific test. These tests are not without cost implication. And then if they think that you have the complex and that it is useful to do the test, then they will most certainly probably recommend doing the test and then take it further in terms of treatment if there is a abnormality found.
So now we have the symptoms, we come and see you, we do some tests. What happens after we do these tests in terms of diagnosis?
Well, the doctor will review the blood test results and see if there is any abnormality in terms of the result. If it's an over-functioning thyroid, there's treatment that can be given for that. If it's an under-functioning thyroid, we'll give you thyroid hormone. That comes usually in the form of a medication. Either Eltroxin or Euthyrox. There's different dosages. We usually start low. We slowly increase the amount of the medication that we give until we see that your hormone level has responded and is within the normal range. And people want a quick fix when it comes to thyroid when it comes to anything, but that's not the way your thyroid works. So the interval at which you'll give the medication is about a month or two. See how the patient responds. Do a repeat blood test at that point. So we won't do just increase the check you every week, check the blood test. It takes weeks, 3 to 6 weeks to see if the thyroid hormone has actually responded appropriately. So it's not something, if your doctor is giving you follow-ups every 6 weeks, it's not being lazy. She is doing the right thing because they're following you up at appropriate intervals where it's most useful to do the tests. And then, of course, over-functioning ones, we can give you some radioactive iodine to ablate the over-functioning area of the thyroid. It's not as bad as it sounds. It's just a little tablet with a little bit of radioactivity attached to it. It doesn't have as many side effects. You're looking at me like this is so awful.
You were speaking about the radiation earlier on, so I'm just trying to understand.
It's a very different form of radiation to even the type of radiation that we give for cancers like cervix or breast cancers or the type of radiation we know, like the X-rays, this is a different form of radiation.
Okay.
So what type of treatment options are available? I know a mother somewhere in Cape Town will be listening to all of these diagnoses and the types of cancers and the sort of symptoms you made mention of, and they'll be thinking about Panado or something like that. You know, in Cape Town, I've got something, everything, we want to give it a Panado.
Panado is a good drug.
Yeah, so what kind of a treatment options are available for people diagnosed with this thyroid cancer?
Doc, before you answer that question, just to add to what Khalid is asking, you mentioned cost-effective. So when we're talking about treatment and testing and so on, in terms of money, what are we looking at?
Well, I want to say thyroid is, if you have to look at the amount of money we spend overall in the treatment of the more common cancers, like, for example, breast cancer, I'm going to say thyroid cancer is actually a very cheap cancer to treat. because its treatment is not, it comes in the form of radioactive iodine, specifically for thyroid cancer. And that's only if there is if there is advanced disease.
Hmm.
So not everybody with thyroid cancer will get radioactive iodine. Like I said earlier, if you can pick it up early enough, you can just be treated with surgery and you will not necessarily require any further treatment.
Hmm.
You get to keep half, the other half of your thyroid, and that will produce thyroid hormone. And only 1 out of 8 people who get a hemithyroidectomy or a lobectomy, where only one part of the thyroid is removed, will actually require thyroid hormone supplementation. So that's amazing. For the people with more advanced disease, they get radioactive iodine. And the worst part of radioactive iodine is that you get to sit alone in a room for about 3 or 4 days until the radioactivity is low enough to be safe to be around other people. It's quite a cute drug in that the thyroid likes iodine. It uses iodine to make thyroid hormone. So when we give radioactive iodine, we're actually giving iodine that has a little colloid of radioactivity at the back of it. So the thyroid, if there is any residual thyroid cancer or even metastases in the case of thyroid cancer, it takes up this iodine molecule, and that cancer cell is destroyed by that iodine and that radioactivity that's attached to it, which is very different to other very toxic drugs like chemotherapy and the other therapies that you get in most other cancers treatment. So that's what makes treating thyroid cancer so nice, because it's actually not unpleasant.
So for someone who perhaps may have been listening, you know, to the show from the start of the show, you made mention of our salt, you know, and iodine is being put there. So someone will say, saying that thyroid's like iodine, can someone eat salt or something like that as part of the treatment?
No. I think the way the radioactive iodine is not like salt with iodine in it. Because salt with iodine is just salt with iodine. Radioactive iodine is specifically an iodine molecule with radioactivity attached. And it's that radioactivity that destroys the cancer cell.
Wow. So how does thyroid cancer affect a person's quality of life during and after treatment? Because, you know, when you treat some other things, you know, your chemotherapies, some people do have those side effects, you know, the after effects. But when it comes to thyroid cancer, is it any different?
Very different. I have to say, if I look at the quality of life of the patients that I treat with breast cancer and the patients that I treat with thyroid cancer, it's vastly different. Definitely, the more well-known cancers, like the more common thyroid cancer, is fundamentally treated differently. or at least the well-differentiated thyroid cancers are treated differently to the conventional cancers that we think about. So you actually have to change how you think about cancer when you start thinking about thyroid cancer specifically, because the treatment is actually not unpleasant at all. It, like I said, the worst part of it is actually the fact that you are radioactive, literally in inverted commas, for a short period of time after you've been given that capsule to take. For the rest of it, after those 4 days, you're free as a bird. You go into your, nobody even knows yet you had thyroid cancer. You end up with a little scar as a result of the operation. But apart from that, there isn't really any marks that you have or any long-lasting side effects of treatment or major deficits in terms of quality of life that one can often experiences.
How would you advise the quote-unquote poor communities who find, who struggle with this? Because of the resources that they don't have, how do they then go about maybe changing their lives in such a way that they can live healthier? How do we go about that?
It's very difficult for the poorer communities because of their access to resources. So it comes down to finances. And the fact of the matter is they're just not financially able to have access to the fortified foods and to a large variety of fresh, healthy fruit and vegetables the different components of a healthy diet. Yes, they're getting in a lot of exercise because, I mean, they just simply don't have a car and they have to walk those long distances. But on the same, the flip side of that coin is that getting access to a healthcare facility may also be a very long distance away. It may not be the priority for that person to spend their finances on, especially if all they have is a lump in the neck and it's not causing any symptoms.
The listener's asking if you could maybe just repeat what you said with regards to does the test indicate the thyroid function? So it was the listener that asked about the myxedema and the other medical term.
So if you have myxedema, it is usually the term myxedema is associated with hypothyroidism. It's a late symptom of hypothyroidism. The hypothyroidism will be picked up on a blood test. So your doctor should probably, or I would suggest that you'd have a blood test, a thyroid function test that will look at something called your TSH, your T4 and T3. That's what we call a thyroid profile. And that combination will see if you do indeed have hypothyroidism. And if you do have, that is the biochemistry behind it, if you do have a biochemical diagnosis of hypothyroidism, then your doctor will usually start you on thyroid hormone supplementation, which comes in the form of Altroxin or Euthyrox. They'll start you on if you have myxedema, they probably will start you on a slightly higher dose, so maybe about 50 micrograms of Altroxin or Euthyrox. Then they will treat you, bring you back maybe in about 6 weeks' time, repeat the blood test, and see if your TSH is responding, meaning initially when you come, your TSH, if you have myxedema and hypothyroidism, your TSH will be very high. So on the repeat blood test, we're looking for an improvement in that, and that amount, whatever it is, 37, maybe it will come down to like 20 or something like that. If you're looking for a decrease in that TSH, that will show that that your hormone level is responding. Then the doctor may either choose to increase that dose of Altroxin, maybe to 75 micrograms, bring you back in another 6 weeks, and check again at that point if your thyroid function is responding. See how it and how it's going, and then so forth and so forth until it's in a normal thyroid hormone level.
So I know we spoke a lot about treatment, you know, the symptoms and so on, but can thyroid cancer be prevented?
Yes and no. So certain types of thyroid cancer can be prevented. So in the case of medullary thyroid cancer, it's a, like I said, it is a third of those patients will have a genetic predisposition to develop medullary thyroid cancer. If we know that they have the genetic predisposition, we can, I mean, we can test the person who's presenting. If they have kids or other family members, we can test the other family members for that genetic abnormality. And then in so doing, we can do a prophylactic thyroidectomy if those patients have the genetic mutation, so as to prevent them from getting thyroid cancer in the long term.
So I know when you have just been diagnosed with an illness or something like that, especially if it includes the term cancer in the end, it can be quite stressful. So what sort of advice could you or would you give to someone who has just been diagnosed with that thyroid cancer?
Depending, there's very few. Actually, this is the one cancer where I can say you can chill. It's take a chill pill and just relax. The most aggressive forms of thyroid cancer are the most rare of the thyroid cancers. They are those ones are really the extremely aggressive ones are also extremely rare, few and far between. So the most likely thing is that you're going to have a well-differentiated thyroid cancer, which means that this cancer is extremely treatable. Moral of the story, go to a good doctor who does a lot of thyroid operations and who does a lot of who specializes in thyroid medicine and make sure that you are treated well. Because nowadays, we can actually treat you very conservatively. So we can, without compromising your long-term health, we can actually treat you with not a lot of surgery. We don't have to do as much as we used to do before. But it would it does require a little bit of expertise in the field and more up-to-date knowledge. Also, the operation done by a proficient surgeon who does a lot of thyroid surgeries is actually not as dangerous as it used to be before, where you know people used to come out hoarse or that, and have voice issues afterwards, breathing issues, all those things. It's not like that anymore. You just need a good team on your side, and you really have a good outcome, really good.
You know, as a doctor yourself, you know, I've always wanted to ask this question because you've just made mention now that you need a good doctor. For someone out there, how do you choose a good doctor?
Yeah, you see that I knew I put my foot in it. I think doctors, I don't know many doctors that we actually were talking about it today. And I mentioned to the oncologist that I work with, doctors don't like making mistakes. It's not something that we do not wish to harm someone's life.
Yeah.
When I'm talking about a good doctor, I'm talking about we all have interests. And yes, you do get the general of the general surgeons who does everything and they but those I'm going to say medicine is becoming more and more specialized. Or rather more and more subspecialized. And you'll get people with specific interests in specific areas. So that's where you get the colorectal specialist and the specialist in liver surgery and the specialist in cardiac surgery. So in this scenario, thyroid cancer on its own is not a common cancer.
Yeah.
So you want to go to a doctor who sees a lot of it and who does a lot of these operations. And therefore has experience with the disease and experience with the surgery to get the best outcome and to have the least risk.
So the punchline I'm looking for is that a good doctor is the one with the experience, you know.
I didn't want to say that with saying that, but ultimately, yes. But you must know, experience doesn't come without without the negative sides of it. There's a saying in surgery that you cut, you cry. So there isn't, we are human. Mm. So doctors are humans, after all. Mm. And we all are subject to, we want to do our best, but sometimes the best in certain scenarios is not, everybody doesn't have the same outcome. Let's put it that way. There are complications, there are side effects, and one just needs to put that also in the background.
Well, as we heard, doctors are humans and really, really, really dislike to make mistakes and obviously want to give you the best outcome. And so do find someone who is a specialist, aka Dr. Fatima Hussein, if you do want to share contact details, or if there's anyone looking for at least consultation, or just trying to discuss and figure out what is going on or what is the way forward, or could this be something that they need to look into. Perhaps we'll share that a bit later. But Dr. Fatima Hussein, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. A listener saying, sending her salams, your aunt. Lots of love from her. And again, shukran for being with us and speaking to us about one of your favorite topics.
I thank you very much. It's really, it is one of my favorite topics. I really do love thyroid disease.
Hence, you are the specialist. But until we chat again, Dr. Fatima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That is specialist surgeon Dr. Fatima Hussein of the Afal State Hussein and Associates speaking to us about thyroid cancer, which is really a unique cancer. It's there, but it's not really there. And doctor said you can take a chill pill, so relax. But do find someone who specializes in it. If you do feel that you have some of the symptoms or even more of the symptoms, do reach out. And inshallah, you'll get the resources that you need. We need to take that short breather again. It's 100.4 FM, where you hear the difference. Reliable access to clean